Boy, big news out of Washington today with the Supreme Court. A lot of rulings expected, too. As you know, there's still a couple of big ones when it comes to gay marriage that should happen by the end of the week. But today, as we kick things off, really what people are talking about is the Voting Rights Act 1965, the Supreme Court with a 5-4 decision that says that key parts of that Voting Rights Act are no longer valid. Boy, everybody has an opinion on that. We like to kick it around with Talk Radio News. They're on the ground in Washington, D.C., and I can imagine Justin Duckham's in the wings. Justin, this had to be the talk of the town.
Oh, this absolutely was. Pretty much this was a, vastly historic change to a voting rights law that was over 40 years old. That was initially passed in 1965. And what the court did was they upheld preclearance, which was something wherein in order for a state or an area that has a history of voter discrimination to change their voting laws or to commit redistricting, they have to get it approved by federal authorities. So that was held up. But what they did was sort of neutered the law. Under the new guidelines set forward today by the Chief Justice, the original formula that states would need to apply under to see whether or not they have a history of, violating voter rights, it's no longer standing. It was ruled unconstitutional. So now what's happening is this is going back to Congress, and they're going to have to update that language. The court ruled that this was something that had not been updated in years and therefore was no longer fair. So they're sort of punting it back to Congress, and I don't have to tell you, with the lack of work that's been getting done, this is going to be something that's going to be an uphill battle.
Boy, that no kidding. And, were there people, it looked like there were people protesting outside of the court. There seemed like there was a lot of signs. Is that accurate? There were a lot of people with signs that protect my vote and whatnot?
Well, this certainly was something that drew a lot of people to the steps, but also got a huge response after. We saw the NAACP releasing a press release that, claiming that this was a clear example of judicial overreach and sort of a case of activist judges. And in more of a state-level response, we actually saw some of these areas that were previously bound by Section 4 coming forward and saying that they were going to start changing their laws. We had the Secretary of State for Texas coming out and saying that they were going to be proceeding with redistricting. And we also saw an announcement that there was going to be a push in Alabama to pass voter ID laws. So the response to this was absolutely instantaneous from both sides of the aisle.
Wow. All right, let's move on to something else that is creating buzz here on America Tonight and in every nook and cranny in the nation. Vladimir Putin, the president, of course, of Russia, confirms that the former contractor that we're looking for, the United States wants, the NSA leaker, Edward Snowden, is in the transition areas, what they call it, of the Moscow airport, but said, forget handing him over to Washington, D.C. We're not going to do that. Wow, what a blow to the U.S. when you think of things that have happened in the past, the U.S. Shuttling several Russian prisoners back to Russia. There had to be reaction from the White House, I would think, on this.
Well, of course, the White House was absolutely outraged, and we saw language similar to yesterday wherein White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said that the Chinese were absolutely threatening the relationship between the U.S. and China by allowing Snowden to leave the country in the first place, which is pretty interesting considering that just a few weeks ago everyone thought we were on better footing following a pretty high-profile, successful summit between the two leaders. And again, this looks like it's a situation that may harm U.S.-Russian relations. We saw, of course, Carney saying today that he was hoping the Russians would work in a spirit of cooperation like they have been doing during the Boston bombing investigation. But it looks like no dice from Putin, who essentially said that since there was no extradition treaty, he was not going to be sending Snowden to the U.S. He also tried to uphold the idea that he had not crossed Russia's borders by being in the transit zone, and essentially said that he was hoping that Snowden would eventually leave the country sooner rather than later, since that would probably be the best situation for both countries. He also said he hoped that the U.S. and Russia can continue to have their business-like relationship in the aftermath of it. But right now, this is certainly something that's going to be driving a major wedge between the two countries.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Ecuador, because that's where he's bound, supposedly. The president of Ecuador hates the United States. Justin, we'll see what happens there. Immigration, the immigration bill, a couple of different hurdles it's gone through now in the Senate. Do you think, based on your covering of Washington, D.C., and talk radio news, of course, all over this, do you think, because I don't think we're going to see an immigration bill by the end of the year, but you're on the ground there. What do you think? Because I think the House will be the tricky part.
Oh, well, of course, that's absolutely going to be the tricky part. Right now we have Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid saying that they're hoping to get a final passage on a comprehensive package by the end of the 4th of July, by the 4th of July recess. He's hoping that they're going to be able to get 70 votes, and it came pretty close to that during one of the first key test votes on the Border Surge Amendment, which passed yesterday by about 67-22, with 15 Republicans crossing the aisle to side with the Democrats on this one. But as you mentioned, of course, it's going to be hard in the House. The initial idea was maybe if there are 70 votes, including a sizable number of Republicans, that would give momentum to the legislation and would therefore make it easier to go through the House. But there are a lot of roadblocks, the first of which, of course, is House Speaker John Boehner, who said that he is not going to pass this unless if it's proven that it's going to have a majority support among Republicans. You know, right now it looks like it probably could pass with a number of moderate Republicans as well as 218, a sizable number of House Democrats who are saying they would back it. But, you know, if Boehner doesn't move it forward, it's not going to pass. And he has been pretty adamant behind the scenes that he's not going to, you know, kind of sit down and let this one slide, even though he has in a number of previous uses of legislation. So he's going to be sticking to the Hastert rule, which is, you know, the rule that says that you have to do something with the majority party support. So it's a tricky situation. No one knows how it's going to go forward. But the big battle really is just down the road.
Yeah. And with the bouncing back to the Supreme Court for a second, I said it before we went to you that we still have some decisions that relate to gay marriage coming up. Do you think the timetable is by the end of the week or by the end of, well, next week? Because we're getting close to when the Supreme Court takes off. So I would think by the end of this week.
Well, it looks like it's going to be tomorrow. They have about three opinions left, and two of those are related to same-sex marriage. So it looks like that's going to be coming down the pipeline tomorrow. Talk Radio News is going to be on the Supreme Court steps for the entirety of that morning to bring you know, all of our affiliates a response to that. And this, of course, is related to the Defense of Marriage Act and the challenge of that to the notion that federal benefits cannot go to same-sex couples. And as well as a challenge to Proposition 8, which was a California ballot initiative in which the state's voters voted to prohibit the recognition of same-sex marriage. So two huge legal cases. This is absolutely historic. And tomorrow is absolutely going to be a very busy day when it comes to that.
Yeah. Is there a lot of crowd swell? Because as you said, there were some people in the steps for the Voting Rights Act. But I would imagine you can multiply that by four for this next decision.
I mean, now that it seems almost all but certain that it's going to come out tomorrow, I presume there's going to be a very big scene going on at the court. Ellen and Bob Ney and I and the entire Talk Radio News gang was down there when they were hearing the trial, and it was a very big kind of circus scene. So I would not be surprised if we see something similar to that tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll look for it. All right, Justin Duckham, thanks so much. Talk Radio News.
Thank you.
Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it. With what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts, if you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care. Chiropractic done right.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat?
Coming up at the bottom of the hour here on America Tonight.
I go to sleep and keep grinning.
Stephen Showhead.
If this is just the beginning.
As we will
talk
a little Hollywood. Talk about James Gandolfini and, of course, what happened to Mr. Soprano. The fact that he made that role his own and created such a character on television that others say opened the door for them. Anyway, we'll talk to Stephen Showhead at the bottom of the hour, like I just said. Until then, though, we're going to mix up a couple of odds and ends here on the show. Remember, you can always hit us up if you don't want to do the let your fingers do the walk-in and jump on the phone at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-2283. You can always shoot us an email, americatonight.net. Click on contact and let your feelings flow. All right, a couple of interesting things. The IRS scandal is getting even bigger, crazier, wackier, and really like a weed out of control has grown into a couple of different directions. Check out the latest. The IRS, apparently, a big watchdog organization, is reporting that the IRS used credit cards to buy things like wine and porn and romance novels and diet pills. Are you kidding me? What else are we paying for? There was a report that came out that said at one point you not only paid for a dinner that was $140 a person, four times the amount that's allowed by the federal rules, they were also used to pay for a lunch that cost $100 a person. So then so we're keeping tabs. $100 lunch, $140 dinner, 28 bottles of wine, 41 guests, and the person who owned this particular card, and there's others, made $2,600 plus worth of personal purchases, too, on those romance novels and diet pills. And wow, So we go away on the taxpayer's dime. We have expensive dinners and lunches. Then we take diet pills because we have to watch our weight. And then in our downtime, when we're doing IRS business, we're in the hotel room reading romance novels. You cannot make this stuff up. And there's more where this came from. This is just the latest because everybody's trying to find out more about it. This report was from the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, found that this happened between 2010 and 2011. They had 5,000 IRS card accounts, and they racked up, ready for this, so 5,000 IRS cards, the accounts, they racked up $103 million worth of stuff. Of course, well, if you're inviting people to come and drink wine with you and watch online pornography and all that other stuff, you know, it adds up after a while. It's pretty tough business, traveling, having these seminars, going from coast to coast. Shame on the IRS. Shame on the IRS. I have a feeling there's other things that we don't know about as well. I just have a bad feeling about that. Maybe we don't want to know. Except for that, it only angers us more about the new dreaded three letters. I used to say the other dreaded three letters were AIG back in the banking scandal days, but we're beyond that. Now we're onto the IRS. Boy, if anything that's happening, of everything that's happening in Washington, this is the one that won't let up. This is just not going to go away easily. Let's put it that way. All right, a couple of other odds and ends. We got to mention this filibustering in Texas. The Texas lieutenant governor halted the filibuster on abortion restrictions. What's interesting here is how long it went on and some of the craziness to filibuster that went on, too. The lieutenant governor's David Dewhurst, who made the decision after determining that Democrat Senator Wendy Davis just completely went bonkers and strayed off the topic. So the Democrats appealed that decision. They set off a heated debate about the rules and whether they could vote on the bill. Now, this is the state legislature of Texas. So she was wearing pink tennis shoes, and she was there for 13 consecutive hours. She was prepared to do that. She started the filibuster at 11 in the morning, past the 9-hour mark to the countdown to midnight, and that was the deadline for the end of the 30-day special session. And the rules, at least the Texas rules for their state legislature, say that she has to remain standing. So how about that? You know, every state differs, but she can't lean. She can't lean on the desk. She can't take any breaks for meals, bathroom, any of that kind of stuff. But here's the key thing. Instead of all the nonsensical things that can happen in a filibuster, you're supposed to stay on topic. The Republicans pointed out a mistake and protested when another lawmaker in the legislature tried to help her with a back brace. If signed into law, the measure, which is part of this heated debate, would close almost every abortion clinic in Texas, and that's a big, big state, as you know. How many miles wide, how many miles long, and how many people? 26 million people would be obviously affected by what could happen here. But the interesting thing is the back and forth from the power base deal of what she was doing and how she was trying to stand up, stay up, all that kind of stuff, and the back and forth between the Republicans and the Democrats. For Davis, she led the whole effort because of her background. She said, as a woman who had her first child as a teenager and went on to graduate from Harvard Law School. So I'm sure that the rest of the country is focused again on the Lone Star State to see what happens with the filibuster ultimately, and what the decision is there in Texas. The other thing that we touched on a little bit briefly at the top of the show was Edward Snowden. There's no conversation that doesn't begin or end somewhere about the NSA leaker, the whistleblower, and where he's going to end up. And now this craziness of Russia who, where they're saying in Russia, well, he's really in a transitory space. He's not really in Russia. That's how Vladimir Putin is getting around the fact that he is in Russia. So he says, you know, the sooner he selects his final destination point, the better both of us will be, and it's better for himself. But they're allowing him in the transit area of the international airport. It's the zone between the arrival gates and Russia's passport control checkpoints. So he said Russia, you know, Vladimir Putin is saying Russia's not going to hand Snowden over to the United States, but he doesn't want him to stay there indefinitely. And the question is of getting him to Quito, Ecuador, seems to be the landing place if they agree to it, because it's become obviously a nightmare. They're analyzing asylum because he's requested asylum, and should he get it? He'll probably get it. And what happens next is up to the president, Nicolas Maduro. He's saying his country didn't get the formal request for the political asylum from Snowden, but if they did, they would consider it, and the reason why is humanitarian grounds. But really, the president hates, President Maduro hates the United States, and he would like nothing better than to snatch up Edward Snowden and be the hero for the moment for the thousands and thousands of people that think the whistleblower did the right thing when he dumped all that information out to The Guardian, and then, of course, it went out across the world, and U.S. citizens got the chance to realize how much they were being snooped on. And if he sits there, he'll sit there for a very, very long time, because they would doubtfully extradite him. He would be free and safe or whatever in Ecuador, supposedly. If you look at what's happened with Julian Assange from WikiLeaks and the fact that he got that protection from the Ecuadorian embassy in London, it would probably be much the same situation here, except for that he would be in Ecuador. And the problem with Assange is he can't get to Ecuador, because the second he steps foot out of the embassy in London, they'll extradite him to Sweden. So not many options for Snowden to get back to the U.S. He'll be arrested. And as far as where can he go, not many options either. But Ecuador seems to be the spot where he'll land next. All right, as promised, we're going to the West Coast. Stephen Shohet next, talking about the man who made TV history with HBO and created a legendary character. Stay with us.
Would you like to be able to disappear, to be invisible to the NSA and Obama spying thugs? Fortunately, there are still a handful of people carrying the torch for freedom and privacy. My friend Chris Peterson is one of them, and he made a video at privacyradio.com that you need to see right now. He'll teach you how to communicate privately, take your identity off the grid, and even disappear forever. Go to privacyradio.com now to see for yourself. Hurry, though. It's just a matter of time before Obama's minions have him shut down and this information is lost forever. privacyradio.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Gardenfreak.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
It's time to prepare for an uncertain future at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival. June 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Val Air Ballroom in Des Moines. Tickets are only $6 per day or $12 for a three-day pass. Speakers include Jackie Clay of Backwoods Home Magazine, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy of Doom and Bloom, and Jack Spearco of the Survival Podcast. There's 100 free conceal and handgun classes each day, and you'll gain valuable knowledge as you learn how to prepare with beekeeping, soap making, canning supplies, cooking with solar, gold and silver, seed banks, and water purification. There's even a free apple seed shoot for the kids. Check out the Youngevity booth and the health product line with pharmacist Keith Abel. Speaking about natural healthy living, the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival, June 28th, 29th, and 30th in Des Moines, Iowa. Presented by My Patriot Supply and sponsored by Genesis Communications Network. Visit valairballroom.com for tickets and find us on Facebook at the Midwest Self-Reliance Festival.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Marriage would need fidelity.
Like Popeye says, I am what I am.
Well, I didn't marry a cartoon.
A vintage moment between Tony Soprano and his wife Carmela. At one of the during one of the seasons, they were talking about divorce and they were separated, and some of that was so entertaining. As you all know, we've talked about it here in America Tonight. James Gandolfini died last week at the age of 51. He was in Italy. Now his funeral service is set for Thursday in New York, and it's just an outpouring of so many actors and people who knew him and worked with him and had nothing but incredible things to say about a very, very talented man, because Tony Soprano, his portrayal by Gandolfini really kicked open the doors for a lot of people and exploded HBO, where it aired starting in 1999. Each and every week, Stephen Shohet, the author of Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, joins us, and we break it down all over the place when we're talking about the big screen, the little screen, and everything in between. Wow, what a shocker, Stephen, wasn't it, to hear about Gandolfini?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always, you know, it's always a surprise when, I consider 51 to be young, and it's always a surprise. I mean, really shocking, like when John Ritter died, obviously, or when Heath Ledger died, even more shocking. And this is up there. It was out of the blue. You're not expecting it at all. What can you say but best wishes to his family and just awful situation.
Yeah, you heard me talk about the character, and you watched, first of all, did you watch The Sopranos? Were you a fan?
I I did, and I became a little less of the fan of a fan toward the end of the show because I thought they were, in my opinion, anyway, they were dragging out certain plots, like the whole Vito runaway plot that to me didn't seem to go very many places, didn't go anywhere. But yes, I was a fan of the show. I was a fan of him, and obviously it's a unique situation because when you talk about people who have played violent characters in movies. Like say Al Pacino playing Michael Corleone, they're not living with it for 6 years, like James Gandolfini was. And he had the interesting thing that he would come back after the summertime and he would refuse to do, at least in the initial episodes of the new season, the violent scenes required of Tony Soprano. I mean, he would tell Timothy Van Patten, one of the directors, I'm not doing that, you know, I'm not punching that guy, I'm not choking that guy, I refuse, you know, because he had moved away from Tony for those months and had a more peaceful existence and it was hard to get back into the swing of things. And you know, he admitted that by the end of the show, he had a lot of anger toward the creator, David Chase, about the way things had gone on. And he also said, you know, maybe it was misplaced because they brought me such wonderful fame and a great deal of money. But I think also he used to get frustrated. Like, Edie Falco, she could put on a hat and dark glasses and walk through the streets and nobody would recognize her. But it was tough for James Gandolfini to ever be disguised from the public, and he didn't like that at all.
Yeah, it's interesting, Edie Falco, who you mentioned, one of the quotes, because she gave very few interviews, but she talked to, I want to say, USA Today, and she said, I'm shocked and devastated by his passing. He was a man of tremendous depth and sensitivity, with kindness and generosity beyond words. I consider myself lucky to have spent 10 years as his close colleague. My heart goes out to his family. She says she'll hold on to the memories of the intense and beautiful time together. This is the key part. The love between Tony and Carmela was one of the greatest I've ever known. So it goes to what you said, how you just, these actors embody those characters. So it was like she was married to him.
Yeah, if you're a method actor like he was, I mean, when he was in the movie True Romance, which helped him get the role of Tony Soprano, and he had a very, very violent scene, for people who haven't seen that movie, with Patricia Arquette. I mean, basically, you know, sort of a knockdown, drag out fight with somebody that he's physically much more imposing than, and you know, a woman. He asked Patricia Arquette in that movie to stab him in the foot with a corkscrew. To literally stab him in the foot with a corkscrew. Even she wasn't going to go that far with the method acting. So, I mean, he totally got into his character. He did say that he was totally in love with Edie Falco, and he said, you know, I don't know if it's Carmela or Edie, but I'm totally in love with her. And you know, he had to submerge himself into that character, and you know, it definitely affected him emotionally as a person. So, I mean, it was a hard thing. Now, other actors don't always have that problem. I mean, just for example, you know, from what I understand on Breaking Bad, which is a, you know, deadly serious show, the actors on that show try and keep things really light. I mean, there was one scene, for example, where Bryan Cranston, who plays Walter White, the drug dealer, was saying something very serious to Aaron Paul and then pulled out a squirt gun and squirted him in the face to lighten the mood. And you know, I don't know if James Gandolfini did pranks like that and things like that, but you know, some actors can be in these violent movies or violent parts and keep things light. I mean, Malcolm McDowell, for example, when he played the role in A Clockwork Orange, he thought the whole thing was comical and was amazed how people took it so seriously. So not everybody gets in you know, into that kind of depth behind the scenes and gets a lot of angst about the roles that they play, even if they're very violent roles.
Yeah. For David Chase, you mentioned him, what a huge series this was for him and the creator of The Sopranos. And for HBO, it really put them on the map even more, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And you know, there's a story about David Chase, that he thought that Hollywood was a horrible place where rotten, horrible people just got away with things all the time. And there was one time when he was a writer on the Rockford Files, and he was in a restaurant with the star of that show, James Garner, and they happened to see across the restaurant an agent for somebody else who had pilfered some music that they were using on the Rockford Files. And in the middle of the meal, just James Garner just calmly got up, walked over to the table, and hit the guy in the face. And David Chase said, that's the only time I ever saw justice in Hollywood. And the Sopranos, in a way, was a little bit of a Hollywood allegory that David Chase felt he could have these people behave in a most horrible way and do these horrible things, but if they got too far out of line, he would stick Tony Soprano on them. So, I mean, that was one of the things that he was thinking about when he was writing some episodes of the show.
Do you expect, because, you know, his body was flown back to the United States, there's been some time to really set this up. It's at a big church in Manhattan. I'm expecting one of those kind of funerals where really you see, I mean, a who's who of Hollywood types that knew him, had brushes with him, were in movies with him. Or they were, of course, part of the Sopranos cast. I think it's going to be a huge funeral.
Yeah, he's a beloved guy. I mean, Kristen Stewart has talked about how much she got along with him because, you know, she despises the limelight just like he did. I mean, Julia Roberts in the movie The Mexican with him had nothing but nice things to say. And the cast of The Sopranos always talked about that he set that James Gandolfini set the tone, because when James Gandolfini took that role, he was surprised that they didn't pick somebody more leading man-like. I mean, he definitely considered himself a character actor and not a lead. And so when he got that role, by almost every account, he was extremely humble, and therefore he set the tone on the set, and he was just beloved by the other actors. Not always by the producers, not always by the writers, who he said he wanted an adversarial relationship with, but by the other actors, they just held him in the highest regard. And so, yeah, I definitely think people will turn out. And of course, you know, some people think that an actor doesn't shouldn't have the flags flying at half mast, but other people have pointed out that James Gandolfini did a lot of work. You know, supported the troops, went over with Tony Sirico, Polly Walnuts to Afghanistan and Iraq to entertain the troops, to meet with the troops. So he definitely was a concerned citizen and by most accounts just a very good guy.
Yeah. Stephen, thanks so much. Stephen Shohat, you can catch him at HollywoodStories.com. Links to everything. Pick up his book if you don't have it. We can't wait for when I'm going to, you know, hound you about that next one. When's that next one coming out?
You know what? It's probably been accelerated a little bit, but I don't have a date for you. It's going to be a while. I'm still collecting the stories, and there's just a lot of different things to write about. But Hollywood Stories, you know, available on ebook, audiobook, and hardcover. And it's really reaching a good audience and getting great reviews, and people can find out about it at HollywoodStories.com.
Sweet. We can't wait for the next one, too, collecting those stories. Stephen Shohat, we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kate.
All right. What a year so far it's been for loss in Hollywood and television and movies. Gene Stapleton, we've talked about Gene Stapleton's death. We've talked about Dr. Joyce Brothers, just a fame, you know, the fame bug, people who are well-known. Vince Flynn, the novelist, I've read his books, just amazing books that several of the presidents also read. Vince Flynn dying of prostate cancer at 47 years old. It seems that the first 6 months of the year have just been plagued with a lot of loss of different talented people. Coming up, we haven't even talked about this, the Supreme Court with a huge, huge decision. That round the bend.
Oklahoma reminds us there are many kinds of storms in our lives. Nature regularly sends us destructive storms. 24 hours before a storm strikes, people panic. It would be wise to prepare ahead of the panic curve. The food price storm from drought and livestock problems is forecast to hit ridiculous heights by the end of the summer. Wonder if there'll really be a problem? eFoods Direct has a plan to maximize your food dollar and guarantee you'll be glad you ordered food. Until June 30th, buy three of any food item and receive the fourth one free with free shipping. The guarantee. After September 20th, when you've seen what happened with food prices and shortages, if you're not glad you ordered food, return the food unopened for a full refund. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633. Your peace of mind guarantee. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of world wide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Bipolar situation going on where it is the year of the whistleblower, so it's all about truth-telling, getting the word out, dropping the dime, seeing where it leads, that kind of stuff. And then we have all of the dumb elements in this country that keep rising to the top when it comes to voting on legislation, when it comes to being in positions of power, for example, in education, like what we saw that went down in Illinois, the crazy nonsense there, and of course all the union busting or trying the union busting, and ultimately what that resulted in. And Then we have the story which the Dark One has sent me. And we've talked about this once before, but since the Dark One brought it up, it's worth mentioning quickly here before I go to the Supreme Court's decision that really shocked a lot of people. I said it at the beginning of the hour when we were talking to Justin Duckham from Washington, who, of course, Talk Radio News is all over this between the White House, Congress, the Pentagon, etc. But a West Virginia eighth grader, Jared Markham is his name, had to appear before a judge the other day, and we mentioned this. He was slapped with formal charges that carry a maximum $500 fine and a year in jail. What's troublesome is you say, okay, so 14-year-old kid, what did he do? Let's say you don't know this story. Well, what the story is the fact that he was suspended from school for refusing to change his National Rifle Association T-shirt. He wouldn't do it. So because he refused, he was charged with obstructing an officer. And that's this crazy, that he was obstructing the education process. His father said that the cops even went as far as threatening to charge Jared with making terror threats. Come on, people. Now, what is up with that? I mean, here we go with the T-shirts again. It's going to get to the point where, and what was, I saw the T-shirt, actually, and the T-shirt was, I really didn't find it offensive. It wasn't a shirt that you would look at and just be aghast at what you saw. I mean, it was really very tame, actually. How many people understand at this school about the National Rifle Association, and the T-shirt to me was very tepid. There's shirts that represent Major League Baseball teams where they're bootleg shirts that are very offensive that I've seen kids walking to the bus stop in. I don't know how they actually make it into school with some of the suggestions on this shirt. But the point being is, you know, with all the fish to fry out there, are you kidding me with that and going after this kid? So the Supreme Court, talking about a different court, the Supreme Court's decision today was interesting. It's striking down a key section of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and we're talking about going way back, obviously, in history. The 5-4 ruling by the court's majority was just slapped up against the wall by civil rights groups. Democrats in Congress were crazy over this. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote a scathing 37-page dissent to this landmark decision. I guess that's what you would call it. So remember, the law, which took a long time to pass, was signed by President Lyndon Baines Johnson so long ago. As we say, you know, the date is 1965. I can remember in school being quizzed on that when we were talking about voting rights and history and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, what Jonathan Greenbaum, and everybody has opinions on this, but I use him because he's the chief counsel for the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights under law, says the Supreme Court has effectively gutted one of the nation's most important and effective civil rights laws. Minority voters in places with a record of discrimination are now at greater risk of being disenfranchised than they ever have been in decades. To clear this up, because, you know, what's the case? The court's decision in the case from Alabama frees up states and municipalities with a history of racial discrimination from having to clear changes in voting procedures with the federal government before enacting them, because that's what they would have to do before. So that restriction is applied to 9 states and parts of 6 others, mostly in the South. Most of the states are in the South that they're talking about. What's interesting is, within just a few hours of that court ruling, the Texas Attorney General, a guy by the name of Greg Abbott, announced plans to implement a voter identification law that was blocked by the Voter Rights Act, and civil rights groups predict more of this will come probably from some of the southern and southeastern states. You know, part of the problem, however, is some of the shenanigans that we've seen on all sides of voting, where you cannot say that there aren't people in that weren't complicit in blowing this thing up in the first place for some of the nonsense that they pulled. And so the thing that's frightening is, why should we have any barriers to voting if you're an American citizen? There shouldn't be any barriers. But the problem is signing up people. I've said this before. I've been approached probably a dozen times in my life. And, of course, I've lived all over the place, but let's say a couple of times in Texas, once in actually even in California, where it's just easy peasy. You just sign up, boom, okay. No, there's no proof of anything. And before you know it, you're voting. Well, am I an American citizen, or, you know, am I not an American citizen? I don't understand why a nation that's this supposedly powerful and with all the brains that we have in this country, for goodness sake, the millions of apps that are being designed, how can we not come up with a secure system, an easy way to get it right when people vote? How can we not get this right at this point? The Attorney General, Eric Holder, said that this is a law that sets us back. The Mississippi Secretary of State, Delbert Hoseman, said implementation of his state's voter ID law, which has been, of course, waiting, just like Greg Abbott said, which has been awaiting the Justice Department approval, will begin immediately. So Mississippi citizens, he says, have earned the right to determine our voting process. Alabama's legislature passed a voter ID law, which you all know, for which the state has not sought federal approval. Now they don't have to worry about it because they don't have to do, I don't think they're going to have to do pre-clearance on anything. That's it. Boom. Then they just move forward from there. And so what does this mean? Does this mean, you know, in South Carolina, photo ID laws, that's something that's come up there. So it'll definitely change the way voting happens in several states. And then it also now brings up the voter ID stuff. There's a pathway to making that become a reality. Many of you have written to me on both sides of this, pretty split. Surprisingly to me, it's pretty split from the people who are listening to America Tonight. Is it a setback, or does it clear the way to get it right? Does it clear the way when you take out in your mind the way the 60s were and the ridiculous, horrible things that were happening to people that should have been allowed to vote? When you take away that and you look at where we are now, does this bridge the gap? Could it make voting procedures smoother, or no? Is it like taking a hammer and smashing it all in half? Send me your thoughts, AmericaTonight.net.
It's hard to imagine, when things are going reasonably well, just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family, only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com.